I will never forgive my father for what he did to me. The woman making that statement had a problem. She was filled with resentment. She was carrying a burden. Anyone who looked at her could recognize that something was wrong. She could not look you in the eye. She was withdrawn and confined in the nightmare of her own thoughts. She had great difficulty in relating to other people in any way that was a healthy relationship. But one day in a private moment with her, she blurted out that cry of resentment and unforgiveness. And then the sordid story unfolded. Her father had molested her when she was 12. Even though he had repented of that deed, was sincerely sorry, and had asked her forgiveness, she could not bring herself to forgive him. The trauma of that moment left a deep mark on her. But then the resentment and unforgiveness that she carried brought an even deeper misery that threatened to destroy her. But you know, that's the way with every resentment and unforgiveness. This is the truth of God. It says that we cannot hold a grudge against another person, making our plans to get even, and at the same time expect to experience the peace of conscience that comes from being right with God. It says, as long as there is a barrier between you and another person, a barrier left standing by your unwillingness to forgive, that barrier will shut you out from the presence and the peace of God. Here is a man who came to see his pastor one day. He had a problem, and it was this. He had no peace. He'd been a Christian for many years. There was a time when he knew the joy of the Lord, the wonder of being God's man, joining with God's people in worship and service and ministry. But now all of that was gone. His prayers didn't seem to get through. He'd lost touch with God. He was living in the depths, and he was miserable. What was the way out? Well, they discussed the reasons for spiritual drought, and ultimately the truth came out. Is there someone against whom you have ill will, the pastor asked? Well, it turned out that there was. But what does that have to do with God and me, the man wants to know? Just this. God cannot come in because there is no room. You are full of hate and God is love. And if you want God to come into your life, you're going to have to pour out all of that hate, and you will have to forgive the person against whom you hold a grudge. But it was such a low-down, mean thing he did to me. How can I forgive? That's the rub. How can we forgive? Well, we turn to Jesus for help, and he shares three things with us that points us in the right direction. This morning, let me share them with you and see if we can understand the word of the Lord Jesus to us in the midst of the circumstances of our lives that sometimes seem to be so very unpleasant. The first thing Jesus says to us is this: you are to love your enemy. Man, that's just the problem. How can I love a person who is my enemy and against whom I hold resentments? Well, there are two facts that give us help on this thorny question of loving those who are our enemy. The first fact is this. In the New Testament, there are two words for love. They have two very distinct meanings, but in the English, we translate them exactly alike. The first word is phileo. The emphasis of that word is the emotional aspect of love. The love between a husband and wife, or the love between parents and children, or the love between sweethearts. The second is agape, and the emphasis of that word is on the volitional aspect of love. A love that seeks the highest good for the person who is loved. In the first word, phileo, we love a person because we like them. And the second word, agape, we love the person in spite of the fact that we might not like them. But indeed, we do seek their welfare and their highest good. And so when Jesus tells us to love our enemy as well as our neighbor, he always uses this word, agape. And so when he commands us to love our enemy, he is not necessarily commanding us to like him. However, he does command us to seek his welfare and his highest good. Do you understand how it is possible for you to love your enemy even though you might not like him as he is or the way he does. You have a love for him that seeks his welfare and desires his highest good, because he is a man or a woman who has been made in the very image of God. But the second fact is this. It is simply a hard-hearted fact that to love our enemy is for our benefit. One day Jesus said, if you are angry with your brother, you stand in danger of judgment. And that's the truth. You see, when we hold resentment and unforgiveness in our hearts toward another person, we have blocked the channel of God's grace and God's love and God's forgiveness into our lives. Resentment, which is of the devil, and love, which is of God, do not mix. And when one is present, the other leaves. And so when you and I hold unforgiveness and resentment toward another person, we have invited the Lord Jesus to leave our lives, and indeed he does that. And when he leaves, there is an emptiness and a hollowness and a foreboding that is in reality the very judgment of God upon us. One day the Apostle John was writing to the young church, and he said, anyone who hates his brother does not know God. And anyone who is angry with his brother is in danger of judgment. We just can't get away from it. You give a man a piece of your mind, and you're going to lose your peace of mind. You hold hate in your heart, and you hold hell in it. See, Jesus knew what he was talking about. Love your enemy, desire his welfare, seek his highest good, and do not allow a wrong feeling toward him to destroy you. But that's not all Jesus said. Not only did he say, love your enemy, but he said, to pray for them. And that was such an important thing, he gave it added emphasis by saying it two times. He said, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who spitefully use you. And we know that Jesus practiced what he preached. You remember the scene of the crucifixion? Well, there's Jesus hanging on the cross. Standing all around the cross, at the foot, were those who had perpetrated this deed. That were the religious leaders. Over here was the soldiers, the crowds of people who had spread all around. And as Jesus hung on the cross and looked down on that crowd, those who had mocked him and spat upon him and forsaken him and had nailed him to the cross, he blessed them and he prayed for them. Father, he said, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. You see, the word bless literally means to invoke a blessing upon. It is a prayer that God will make that person's life a blessed life. Do you know it would take somebody like Jesus to think about that? Today, when one person wrongs another person, the normal reaction is not to ask God to bless them. The normal reaction is to link the word God and the word damn, and it becomes a prayer that God will damn them. But you see, when we walk in the light of Jesus and we see a person who has done us wrong, rather than allowing resentments to well up within us, we can pray, Lord, bless him in the name of Jesus. That's what Jesus meant when he said, pray for those who spitefully use you. Not just once. But keep on persisting in the prayer that God will make that person's life a blessed life. Stanley Jones said it like this. Whenever the name of a person that you dislike is mentioned, breathe a prayer for that person. You will beat down a rising resentment with a barrage of prayer. Make that the daily habit of your life. Is there someone you dislike? And the mention of his name is like a pin sticking into your peace of mind. Pray for them. Picture that person standing in the presence of Jesus and ask the Lord to fill him with the fullness and the wonder of his blessings and of his provision. And then you watch the Lord set him free from the meanness that caused him to do you wrong. And to set you free from resentment and unforgiveness. You see, and then we see the miracle of God's grace in his life and in ours. Let me tell you the truth. You cannot pray for a person and hate him to save your life. Jesus said we have to love our enemy. We have to pray for those who spitefully use us. And then he continued, do good to them who hate you. First of all, we are to love our enemy. We are to love them in a way that seeks their welfare and their highest good. And then we have to pray for them. Pray that the Lord will fill their lives with the fullness of his blessings. And then he says we are to do good to those folks. Well, if you look at this word doing good in the light of the life of Jesus, you will discover that it means two things. First of all, it means that we will forgive them. In a couple of weeks, we will deal with this whole matter of forgiveness in the series of sermons that we are dealing with right now. But this morning, let me share with you just some three basic principles that are so important if we are going to live in a forgiving relationship. First of all, we must be willing to accept God's forgiveness for us. You see, when we sin and fall short of the glory of God, God has made provision for us. He offers us forgiveness through His Son, Jesus Christ. But that forgiveness does not mean anything at all until we accept it for ourselves. That's what Jesus said. If we are faithful and just to confess our sins, He will forgive our sins and He will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Believe that and accept it. But you know, the second thing in forgiveness is that we must be willing to forgive that other person, even though we do not feel any forgiveness in our hearts. On the authority of the Word of God, we speak the words of forgiveness, believing that God will deal with our emotions and He will bring our feelings in line with His Word. Then after we have done that, we need to forget about it and never mention it again. See, forgiveness is the very heart of the gospel. It is God the Father betting His life, the life of His Son Jesus, on the transforming power of forgiveness. You want to be rid of your enemy? Forgive him and tell him so. Then watch God as He works a miracle of grace in his life and in yours. But you know, doing good is more than just forgiveness. Means exactly what it says, doing good. In the scripture we read this morning, Jesus said that his man does not demand an eye for an eye, but he turns the other cheek. Another time Jesus said, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. Still another time he said, do not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. And today he said, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you. When you come in contact with a person who has done you wrong and hurt you, and you find resentments welling up within you, and unforgiveness is overwhelming you, stop and make a plan to do something good for that person, and then put it into practice. And watch the Lord move in the life of that person and make a transformation that would have them to be your friend. Let me ask you a question. Are you a prisoner to resentment and unforgiveness? Have resentments and unforgiveness in your life blocked the channel of God's power and His love flowing into you and put you in a place where you cannot receive the fullness of His love and the fullness of His provision in your life? Is your life miserable because of that? You want to be free? Well, you can. This is the way. Love your enemy. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Let me tell you this morning, the truth of the Word of God says that if you will do that, you will be set free and you will be whole. How do you deal with resentment? You bring that person into the very presence of the Lord Jesus and ask the Lord to fill their lives with the fullness of His blessings. And you do that good deed that causes them to be your friend.